This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 119. It is the 24th of January 2024. This is our second podcast of the year. And once again, I'm here, Peter Higgins at Conquest3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my co-host, Henry Viola Hare at HT Viola on Twitter. Thank you all for coming back. Thank you all for listening to 118. I said 118 then, didn't I? It's like the telephone number of those two random guys running around.
Oh, don't say that. You'll have to grow a mustache.
Well, again. But thank you all for coming back. Thank you all for your fantastic feedback. We're really pleased that you enjoyed the last pod. And great numbers for that one again. And some feedback on YouTube again. Thank you ever so much for that. And thank you all for subscribing onto YouTube as well. The numbers are going up. We're just shy of that magic 1,000. So please, if you've not yet subscribed to YouTube, please do so. We'd love to just move across that bench of 1,000 and then move on from there. Right, Henry, we're here. Lots of stuff going on in the markets. More takeovers, more investment trust merging, more combinations going on, and more big deals, mate. So where do you want to start today, or should I just jump straight into what's happened to the FTSE and the AIM for today?
Well, if my portfolio is anything to go by, both the FTSE and the AIM have had quite a good day today. I don't know what's precipitated it, but they've been up strongly, I believe.
Listen, mate, we're being dragged and carried by the technology companies within the US. That's what's going on. That's essentially what's going on. If they go up, we tend to follow. Yeah, if they have a sneeze, we're in the hospital. So FTSE 100 up 41 points today at 7,527 at an intraday low of 7,485 was the intraday low today, and a high of 7,538. So a good close of 7,527 was pretty good. FTSE All Share, again, staying above the magic 4,000, closed at 4,120, up 25 points. AIM still holding solid at 744, was up 5.9 points today, nearly a full 1%, 0.8% up. So that's a good close. We need to keep those sort of numbers. We're just sitting below sort of support levels at the minute on the FTSE, which is support levels at 7,580, just shy of 7,600. And the FTSE AIM support level is above the support level at the minute, which is about 735. So anything above that is a bonus going forward. But we're nice to see the FTSE above 7,600 and get a bit of momentum into it, because we're heading towards the end of January. They're going to have another week of the trading in the markets. People are going to look at the positions regards to the next and the last financial quarter of the financial year, and they're going to start divvying up their books. So it's a bit of a quandary, but I suspect we're going to have more huge takeovers, Henry. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I can see a lot more takeovers coming. The valuation of the UK markets compared to the US, I mean, they're night and day, and I can see an awful lot of private equity firms and US venture capitalists looking at the UK, you know, and licking their lips and rubbing their hands together and thinking, you know, they can get some bargains right now. Are priced for catastrophe, to be honest, in a lot of sectors. And actually, a lot of profit.
Absolutely. And they've got, I think I've read somewhere, 2.5, 2.6 trillion of dry powder. And obviously, they don't have to spend it all. I'm going to speak about a private equity company later on. But with that much money sitting there waiting to do something with, they're either going to buy something, you know, that's listed and take it back to being private, or they're going to be looking at some of the assets that they've got for bolt-ons. Yeah. So yeah, lots of money there waiting to come back onto the markets. I hope will encourage us to go a bit higher. And we will see, mate, lots of bargains. And we'll see that with the average, I think last year, when I did a bit of research on it, was over, I think it was 51% average premium now for the whole year. So if you're blessed with a takeover and it's sub 50%, it means that people knew about it already in the market and the shares were creeping up already. You should sometimes see it creeping up, don't you, already thinking, why is that moving all of a sudden? That's because somebody knows somebody. Yes, absolutely. And then you end up with a 30% premium instead of a 50% premium. Oh, well, there we go. But more takeovers are coming. If you've got some depressed investment trust, they're going to be looking to go into church with somebody else and seek a marriage. So, yeah, lots more coming. Right, Henry, I'm conscious that we should be speaking really about your fantastic starts regarding Centrepoint and what's happened with that, because you've been inundated, mate. What a fantastic start, straight out of the blocks and just whoosh, you know. So fantastic, mate. And to give a big shout out, I hope she's listening, to Jarvie55, who has been pushing and promoting this across all the different platforms and even WhatsApp groups and Telegram groups and all the rest of it that she's involved in. And Jarvie came third in our competition and so has very, very kindly been supportive of the podcast and Henry's charity fundraise. Oh, sorry, the Twin Peaks charity fundraise that Henry's leading. So thank you, Jarvie, for that.
Yeah, you, I mean, for those of you that don't know, this year our charity of choice is Centrepoint, which is the UK's leading homelessness charity for young people. And I've selected this for a number of reasons, but largely because I believe that children shouldn't suffer for the flaws of the families that they're born into or for the circumstances that they find themselves in at a young age. And Centrepoint does a terrific amount of work with some very vulnerable young people, helping to get them a better start in life with a safe and loving home. And so this year we're looking to, I've set a goal of raising £5,000 over the year for the charity. If we can beat that, I will be over the moon, to be honest, and I know the charity certainly will be. But I was absolutely thrilled to see that as of recording on the 24th, we've already raised 15% of our target, £735 from 18 supporters, 17 if you take me out. We've had some absolutely fantastic donations over the last couple of weeks. I've had a few anonymous. I don't know who they are. We've had someone anonymously donate £100 plus £25 gift aid with the words, best investment I'll make this year. So thank you very much. We've had Kevin Taylor, another £100. We've had Trademark 72, £50 plus £12 50 gift aid. Gary Newman, Ivan, Anton, Neil Campbell, Sally, you've all donated. Jarvie 55, £20 and £5 gift aid. Who else? Joe Ingham. Yes, Joe Ingham, simply paying it forward. Long overdue donation. Amazing work you guys do, entertaining us for free. And this is simply an amazing cause that is close to my heart. A little kindness can change lives. £20 and £5 gift aid. And James 1 and 1, an excellent charity choice for 2024 and a super investment for all who trade shares. Thanks for the podcast. Each one packed with loads of insights and stock ideas. More gems than the Federal Reserve. Kindly donated £100.
Fantastic words, fantastic. Mate. Nice quote. Thank you, James. That's awesome. Thank you, mate. That's really kind of you.
And our very own Peter Higgins, Conkers 3, £100. Fantastic choice of charity on board and supporting as well. So thank you very, very much to everybody that's donated. If you have donated, please do consider sharing the link with friends, family, other listeners, other investors. The more money we raise, the more children can be helped get a good start in life. So thank you very much, and please do keep up the support throughout the year.
Yeah, thank you, ladies and gents, for supporting this this charity fundraise. And thank you for your kind words as well when you've donated. Love what James was saying there. Kevin Taylor has been so supportive as well. Always comes with a donation to us. So really, really kind to do so again. And let's just keep rocking that number up as best you can. Some people can't afford a tenner. Fiver will do. You know what I mean? And if everyone does that, if we have 3,000 people donate a fiver, we'd be at 15 grand, you know, and we can help so many young people come off the streets where they're in danger, or, you know, staying with somebody where they're putting themselves at risk, and we can make sure they're not on the streets. So yeah, it's a fantastic charity. So well done on choosing that one, Henry. And thanks to everybody that supported us thus far. Cool.
Absolutely.
Okie dokie. You've got to tell us where to find before I go on. Give us the
absolutely.
Just give me a page again, please, Henry.
It would help. It's www.justgiving.com/page/TwinPeaksChallenge24. That's TwinPeaksChallenge24. You'll see a nice banner at the top of the page with the Twin Peaks Investing logo and the Centrepoint logo. And if you look very closely, you'll even see a picture of me on a swing. But yes, bonus points if you find that one.
Me on a swing. Nobody wants to see you on a swing, mate. Right, ladies and gents, I'm going to start with my first doc research idea. And this, I've been asked to put the ticker symbol first. I'm not sure why, but I'm going to do it anyway. And the ticker symbol is B for Bravo, P for Papa, and T for Tango. Right? What does that ticker belong to? It belongs to Bridgepoint Group. Okay? It's a FTSE 250 company listed on our stock exchange, obviously. And it's a private equity firm with around, I would say, at the last count, near enough 40 billion euros in assets. And as the word says, private equity, it buys up small firms across the board, international alternative assets and fund management group, focusing on providing private equity and private debt lending to middle market firms. Now, the reason why I've looked at this firm and the reason why I'm interested in it was predominantly because 3i had such a fantastic 2023. And that's another private equity company. And I just thought this was lagging a little bit in its own maneuvers and appreciations and returns. And over the past 12 months, it only generated 11% return for people that were invested in the firm. Now, I'm looking underneath the balance sheet. I'm looking under all the different companies that it holds. And there's a possibility that they've got to have one or two, maybe even three companies that either are trade sales, or one might even list, but they're going to be selling stuff next year. Sorry, this year. We're in 2024 already. In 2024, I think. So with the shares sitting at a range of £1.64, the low of last year, and a £3 top, which was nearer to, I think it was the 27th of December, it hit that high of 2023. So £3, it's currently sitting at around £2.74.75 when I last looked. So it's not that far off its high. So just 10% below-ish there or thereabouts. But I think it could go higher on any sort of noise on deals, listings or disposals that they make from their assets that they've got and the companies that they're listed on. Now, they're involved in all manner of different principles and sectors, right? So business services, consumers, financial services, healthcare, medtech, pharma, manufacturing, industrial, digital, tech, media, all the rest of it. So they're looking, they're sitting there waiting for the markets to start rebounding so they can optimize their price of the assets they've got investments and stakes in. So I'm making the assumption, and that's assumption, and we know what assumption starts with, two, an A and two S's. We're not pronouncing that word on this particular podcast, and it could make a fool of me, right? But I am saying that this current share price undervalues the potential of BPT over the next 12 months and beyond, right? So looking at it on the ShareScope charting tools, you've got two little bottoms there at 164, 169, currently at 278. So it sprung from late October at 169, when nobody wanted to buy it, to going up to 3 quid, right, in the space of 2.5 months. So the Santa rally took it all the way up to 288, 289, 3 quid. It's rolled over a little bit. I think once it starts again, maneuvers, it pierces through 3 quid. Any news on disposal or a listing or something or other, it goes through, it goes again and moves on. So that's why I'm bringing it to the attention. If Wheelie was on here now, I'd be mentioning the MotoGP, because they've got stakes in the MotoGP. And if like they do anything with that, selling that, or Humanistic, one of their groups, something like that, share price goes for a move again. Yeah. So that's why I'm bringing that one to the attention of everybody else. I don't own it right now. Would I be tempted? Absolutely. If the market doesn't like it, as with everything else we've seen in the markets now, we as investors don't buy it. Share price goes whoop, 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 gets down to 52-week low, starts to move, and then a 50% premium comes, and we go, oh, I wish I'd bought that when it was down there. Well, ladies and gents, if you're looking for an opportunity to buy in the market, buy when it's near its 52-week lows. Don't have to always buy it when it's near its 52-week highs. Yeah. So BPT is the ticker, market cap of 2.18 billion, a PE of 17, pays a yield 3% for those that want the dividends as well. And I think with a dividend of 3%, get another 12%, compound that at 15% for the next couple of years, 5 years' time, double your bubble.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
That's it for me. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really interesting company you've picked there. I was historically quite skeptical of private equity firms. I felt like they charged an awful lot of fees, and the investors probably didn't see much in the way of returns. If you worked for the private equity firm, you probably got paid handsomely, and if you were an investor, you probably got mediocre, returns. But actually, when I started doing some research a couple of years ago, I found that private equity has actually traditionally outperformed public equity. There was a paper I was reading that was dated, or it was probably 2020, something like that, and it looked at the 25 years up to 2018. And it showed that traditionally, portfolios that had held about 20% weighting towards private equity firms had actually had a 2 or 3% outperformance against portfolios that had just held purely public listed equities and cash, which I thought was very, very interesting, actually, because it wasn't what I expected at all. Now, when I started reading into it, it turns out that the reasons for this are actually fairly obvious when you think about them. One is that the firms are able to time their exits. So they've got a huge universe of off-market opportunities, whereas the UK market's only got, a few thousand companies listed, if that. The private market has got tens of thousands available for sale at any point. So you've got a much broader universe of opportunities. You've also got the ability to buy when the company is small and help it to grow and then sell it for whatever premium you choose. And as those listeners that have invested in IPOs will know, actually, most of the time when companies list on an IPO, they are sold at a premium. They're not sold priced for the buyer, they're priced for the seller. And
Absolutely.
In this case, the seller is the private equity firm. So they have good
Often
exit
enough, yeah.
strategies, which enables them to generate some significant premiums to book value. They've also got better access to decision making. So whereas you or I, if I go and buy, say, £10,000 worth of Microsoft shares and go and ask the board for a change in the, I don't know, dividend policy, I won't even be let in the room, to be honest. If I was a private equity firm, I'd get a seat at the board table, you know, so they've
Absolutely.
got more control over what's actually going on. And so actually, this private equity firm that you found, you know, that could have some potential. The share price has come off the boil. We've just had a soggy market. Now interest rates are leveling out. If they come down a little bit, even if they stay where they are, and they manage to make some disposals at a premium to book value, I could see the share price ticking up a little bit. So I think that's a really interesting pick, Peter.
Thank you very much. Now, they've also got a little bit of a buyback going on as well. And I think the beauty of it is what you touched on there regarding that there's a significant lag, as we always talk about lags, don't we? In the sense of the interest rates and inflation. They've got companies that are still struggling financially. So they're able to go in and negotiate the best price possible for that equity swap for cash and so on and so forth. So they'll have a few more opportunities to invest as well in 2024 and 25 going forward. So that's why I see that as a possible opportunity going forward. The next sort of this, I've chosen this one as well because they're due to do a report to the market in March. So you've got at least a month window to do your research and your analysis regarding this particular stock and decide, you know, around March time whether or not you want to get in before the report or wait until after the report. So yeah, there you go. And you know what? If you can come, I think the situation for me with Bridgepoint is at some point or other, this might sound bizarre, but private equity companies are looking at other private equity companies, right? And they're thinking that one over there is mispriced. Let's bring that in and make a larger group as a private equity entity. So that's not a, that could be an unusual thing that no one thinks about that potentially could happen. Won't see a 50% premium, mind you, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I really like that.
Cool beans. Thank you, mate. What have you got, mate? What's your first stock of the day?
Well, I've got one which listeners will probably have come across, you know, if you follow the markets in the UK. Its ticker is CCC, it's Computer Centre, a UK-based IT and services provider, which helps customers to source, transform, and manage digital technology across workplace applications and data, cloud and data centers, networking and security. They're a huge beast in the IT space, and they're a very, very high quality company. The company basically helps customers to outsource their technology needs. So the larger enterprises, or as companies start to grow, they get more complex technology needs. You know, 20 years ago, you could get by with a desktop and, you know, a few servers. Now you've got mobiles, you've got tablets, you've got printers, you've got Wi-Fi, you've got security, you've got, you know, customers logging into portals and people all over the world on your network. Not to mention the huge variety of attack surfaces, the different service providers. I mean, even if you just look at mobile phones, you've got Apple technology and you've got Android technology. Getting the two to talk together is not always straightforward, and that's a pretty basic problem. Computer Centre basically helps clients to address these sorts of issues, all the way from basic frontline IT support through to how you install, manage, and run your IT infrastructure. Now, the business has got nearly 20 years of consecutive growth in earnings per share. Very high quality business, very well run. It's grown its revenue at a compound annual growth rate of 11% since 2017. And it's done this by focusing on really excellent customer service. They've got a very good reputation. They've got great financial strength. You know, they've got one of my favorite things, net cash on the balance sheet of £165 million. And they're using the assets they've got very, very well. They've got a return on capital of 25%, which is a really solid return for such an enormous company. Now, in terms of catalysts, I don't necessarily think there is a short-term catalyst that I can identify. But one thing that really struck me was the company's compounding credentials, if you like. That growth of revenue is not, I won't quite go as far as to say exponential, but it's certainly very strong. It's been followed by strong growth in earnings per share as well. And share prices tend to follow earnings per share over the long term. If earnings per share grow, the share price tends to follow. Won't be in a straight line, but that's the general rule of thumb. So this is a business for me that I think investors could, you know, buy a little bit of. We've had a bit of market volatility recently. You could probably get it at a bargain, tuck it away in your portfolio, come back in 10 years and probably find, if it's not been acquired by someone as a bolt-on acquisition internationally, that it's probably continued to grow and do well for you.
So interesting one that Henry. It's and it's well, that sort of market cap is on the cusp of what is it, FTSE 250, so therefore on the cusp of being a FTSE 100 stock eventually. So the thing I've got to ask you here then is, why is it that that stock to me is overlooked? It's one of our, I keep saying this, we've got barely any tech stocks, right? But yet the ones that we have got aren't being cheered or aren't being, you know, we're not waving the flag saying that's one of ours. I don't see people talking about it. It's generating revenue, it's growing the revenues. I've got it here faster than the 3-year average, which is really good for one of our stocks. It's got a good return on capital invested. What am I not seeing here? Why is it not loved? I'm not saying it's not unloved, but why isn't it loved? What's going on?
I think part of it is the valuation relative to other companies in the UK. So here in
The
the
UK.
UK, we've got a sort of market range of PE values that range from five, which is highly cyclical or very low quality, topping out at around 20, which is very, very expensive, high growth for the most part. If you talk to your average investor in the UK, if you said something's on a PE of 20, they're going to start getting a little bit edgy. And this is on a forecast PE of 15.9. So it's nudging towards the top end of the bracket. Having said that, if you compare that internationally with, say, Microsoft or Amazon or Apple or Tesla, it's very cheap. Very, very cheap. And I think this is a psychological thing that UK investors have got where we are persistently going for the cheap, unloved small cap shares over the large, high quality mega caps, or well, they're not quite mega caps, but large caps that are really just doing a great job.
I agree with you. I mean, I had this conversation within the last podcast, Henry. You know, I've got the market cap in front of me here. 3.5 billion, right? So it's on the cusp of FTSE 100, as I said, right? But that market cap, so let's round it over to US dollars and say $4 billion, it would be a small cap. It would be an equivalent of an AIM stock over there. So, you know, I think people need to reevaluate what they deem to be a large cap and see this as a potential AIM stock equivalent to the US and think, crikey, if I'm buying this now and I've held it and I held it and I hold it for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years and they carry on growing at a steady pace, I could have a stock here that's worth 10 billion potentially, you know. So yeah, good call on that one, mate. PE of 15, that's not expensive in the grand scheme of things. You
Not
know,
for
I've
a high
seen all
quality
these
company.
pundits and all these analysts coming out saying they're now buying Nvidia at $450 a share, at
Don't.
$500 a share.
Giving me
Yeah. And
indigestion.
when it hits 550, they'll be saying the new target $600 a share. You know, and I don't want to know what the PE is on Nvidia right now, but I dare say computer center is much, much cheaper Will it accelerate and grow at the same speed as Nvidia? Obviously not. But I don't know. We've got to get out of that mindset that low PE. That's what I said to you on that tweet earlier in the week. Pre-2000, my sentiment was low PE, safe, and I'll do all right in the long run. Read the O'Neill book, smashed it to ribbons. Higher PE means you'll do better long term. And Nvidia has proven that, Apple's proven that, Amazon's proven that, Tesla's proven that, Meta has proven that.
I think the thing people overlook with PE values is that market psychology element of it. Now, it's not a guarantee that just because everybody loves a stock, it's actually good. You know,
absolutely.
At some point, people were going crazy for tulip bulbs. They were still just tulip bulbs. But when you've got a large mega cap like Amazon, for example, and you've got analysts pouring all over it and going, yeah, we love this and we're bidding it up. Sometimes that is actually a sign that you as an investor are missing something. If you're looking at it and your persistent thought is it's too expensive, ask yourself why it's so expensive. You know, I mean, I've spent 10 years over that saying Google's expensive, Amazon's expensive, Facebook's expensive, or Meta as it is now.
Yeah.
They've all done well. They've outperformed anything I've held.
Yeah, well, you took the mickey out of me in the last podcast when I said I could have had Greg's at 10 quid. It's like, what is it now? 25, 26. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, dear. Right. No, good call, mate. Good call on that one. Right. I want to talk about a second stock. Now, this one's completely out of favor, Henry. Completely unloved versus where it was a little while back, right? I'm not going to give the ticker on this one straight away, but I think you're going to guess it when I start describing what they do. Yeah. And just shout the name out as soon as you guess what this is, right? And then I'll tell our listeners what the ticker symbol is. But don't shout too quick. At least let me just get a couple of words out. Yeah. So my second stock operates as a retailer of Swiss watches in the United Kingdom and internationally. It involves the sale and resale of timepieces, pocket watches for anybody. And the company is based in London and stores around the whole of the UK, Manchester, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Birmingham, London, Cardiff, Brighton, etc. But its HQ, guess where it is? In Leicestershire, right?
Does it do what it says on the tin?
Yeah, what's the name?
Is it Watches of Switzerland Group?
It's absolutely that, right? Everybody hates this stock right now. It was lauded, mate, like a piece of luxury, right? And the shares, mate, were £10.37, right? On the 2nd of February, 2023.
Sorry,
almost
how much?
1 year ago, 2nd of Feb, £10.37 a piece, being bought up. Got to have it, got to have it, got to have it, right?
It's not
great
bad
numbers
now.
In that December, and a carry on rallying, hit £10.37, right? What happens, mate? August of 2023, and I'm sure prior to this, it was going on. But whether it's financial difficulties or family disputes or whatever, right? One of the longest standing relationships that Rolex had was with a company, I'm bound to butcher the name, right? Was Bucherer, luxury brand, reseller of Rolex watches, et cetera, right? And they came up for sale. And rather than allow that one of the main resellers of the whole of Europe and elsewhere across the world, get into the wrong hands and potentially tarnish the brand, right? And whatever other reasons, right? Rolex went, have a conversation with the family and purchased that company. Yeah. Bucherer, I'm going to pronounce it that way. And essentially they came out and basically said, you know what? This doesn't affect our relationship with the Watches of Switzerland. We're not moving into retail, but already that sent the jitters into everybody around Watches of Switzerland. and the shares went down about 25% back in August. They came out with some numbers after that. They did okay. The share price went up and down and up and down. And unfortunately, and I'm using a euphemism now, Watches of Switzerland came out with an untimely profit warning. See what I did there, Henry? Yeah? Okay. On the 18th, last week came out with an untimely profit warning, basically saying we're going to guide and rebase our revenue and brought it down essentially 8.7, 8.9%, rebased the margins as well, and share price has got absolutely smashed. So if you say the equivalent of £6, it's £5.88 on the 17th, the day before the announcement of profit warning, the share price went, it's almost like somebody just threw a Rolex at the wall and smashed it to pieces, right?
Oh, don't say that. Don't
£5.88
say that.
On the 17th. Yeah, you're just wincing at the thought of that, aren't you?
Yeah.
And £3.55 was the low on the 18th, Henry. So a 40% move, right? The shares are currently sitting at 383 or ish, 370, 370, 380 as we speak. I didn't look at the close of the market today. Got a market cap of 932 million. The PE is now sitting at 8, PE of 8, right? And I'm looking at it and thinking, shares were nearly 15 quid, right? Christmas 2021. They were 10 quid Christmas 2023. They're now sub £4, right? That to me is either a 66% off a Rolex watch or a Patek, right? Or it's a 33% off what was there last year or whatever. Those watches don't change in value, but the company has completely been slashed and burnt, right? I'm thinking at some point or other, either Rolex do come into retail or they don't. They've got Watches of Switzerland sitting there as their main, sorry, second now to Bucherer, seller in the UK and Europe. And I'm thinking if they have guided down now, and can get a little bit of traction in the next couple of months, 6 months, and come out with any sort of decent numbers in the second half of this year, and come out with some reasonable numbers at Christmas, this is a £4.5, £5, £6 stock all day long. And you know what? If they then say, right, we are the second or the third or whatever it is, Rolex certified pre-owned reseller, retailer, yeah, we get 30% more for our Rolexes and prestige watches because we are certified. There's a bounce here possible, I think, Henry, on a PE of 8. Yeah. And I'm looking at it and thinking, maybe. They come out with a shocking profit warning. No one expecting that at Christmas. It's the best time to be selling watches. And we spoke about Pandora and the jewelry business, that side. So they're expected to do well, but they came out and warned and they've rebased their numbers. But I think the rebase is going from 1.7 billion as a guidance, as a revenue guidance, down to 1.53 to 1.55 shouldn't really signify a 40% drop. Yeah, that's a 10% rebase of revenue, not a 40%. But this is what happens, you see. You profit warn, you're guaranteed to get between 20 and 40%, punch on the nose, I think. And is it oversold now? In my view, yes. Could it go lower? Absolutely they could, right? But I like the contrarian sort of viewpoint. I didn't want to buy this at 15 quid, right? Didn't want to buy it at 10 quid, yeah? I will be buying this company at some point, yeah? And add it to my watch collection. So rip it apart, mate. Go on.
Interesting business, but I'm not a fan. I love watches, by the way. I adore watches. If anybody wants to gift me a Rolex, feel free to send it in. But Now, on a serious note, I've got the same problem with it that I've got with most retail businesses. They come in and out of favor. And at the end of the day, you've got Goldsmiths. Do they own Goldsmiths Group or is that an independent business? I'm not sure, but there are other watch
Independent,
retailers out there.
yeah, but they don't sell Patek Philippe's and Audemars and Pico and Cartier and the rest of it, mate.
Goldsmiths do.
No, mate. Listen, have a look in Goldsmiths, right, and have a look at the range that they've got.
Yeah, it'll be, I
Yeah,
agree with you. It will be
went there at Christmas, mate.
smaller. It will be smaller.
Will be
But
smaller,
my,
and it'll be within a range of.
I've also got the, you can buy direct from those brands should you want
Yes, you
them.
can.
You can
Yes, you
get them
can.
second hand at significant discounts.
Yes, you can.
You've got that. I mean, there are other avenues. And to me, this was a share that everybody got on the hype train for. And it was priced
Yes,
for
they did.
perfection and growth through the roof. And then, the reason I think it's been hit so hard is because that 10% decline doesn't really represent a 10% decline. It actually represents no growth. It's a complete
Spot on.
about turn of the story and what everybody was expecting. And that's why everybody's panicked and dumped the shares. Now, could it rebound? Yeah, sure. From the little I know of it, it's a high quality business. There's a reason it was growing so strongly. There's a reason it's got as big as it has, and there's a reason it's built the relationships it has. I mean, Rolex doesn't let, any Joe Blogg sell new Rolexes. I can't set up a stall at the side of the road selling Rolexes. Well, I could, but they're probably not going to be
You
real.
could
I'll put it
try.
that way. If you see me at the side of Cannon Street Station with a wheelbarrow, don't buy any watches off me, ladies and gents. But yeah, it for me, I wish you the best of luck with it if you do pull the trigger. I'll put it that way. Come back and prove me
You
wrong in
know me,
5 years.
mate. If there's a steamroller going, I'm going to be looking at what it's running over and seeing what it's hit. I don't want the pristine stuff. I'm quite happy being the only one in the stock at some point or other. But I'm very interested, mate. They've got the stock. They've got all those brand names there. They're not going to be suddenly selling their prestige luxury watches at 30, 40, 50% off. They're not. So there's still that stock there. There's still the brand name there. And if push comes to shove, will Rolex consider taking them indoors as well? Who knows? They don't need to, obviously. There's a as a reseller, they've got plenty of other options. But what if they sacrifice the Rolex brand and keep all the other brands and go, right, okay, you can have all that. We'll just do all these other ones. Yeah. And never stand, mate. So I'm looking at all these different options and thinking it was sitting there at 2.5, nearly $3 billion, pounds of valuation, and now it's sub 1 billion. Right now, luxury, when you think of who can afford luxury brands, Chinese, the Americans, yeah, Dubai, Emirates, blah blah blah, they can go, we'll love that brand, they would love that brand. Yeah, so that's why I'm
I
looking
can
at,
see
very
the
contrarian.
story.
Say again.
I can see the story.
Right, so there you go. So I'm ranting on about it like I own it already. I don't own it. Do not own it. But there you go. That's my second, very contrarian, completely unloved. If I was talking about this and it was 10 quid, it was the share price was going up, everybody going, oh, that's probably a good idea. It's going down. Nobody wants a stock that's going down. I'll touch on this stock before you talk about another one, Henry. And the ticker symbol is SDI. Health imaging company. Another stock. Last year, £2 a share. Latter part of last year, it started rolling over, rolling over, rolling. Well, half of last year, rolling over, went to a sub pound. Most people have sold it. Now it's sitting at 70, 80 pence. Nobody wants it. Yeah. So another one, which was not in a similar sort of vein, but there's a lot of loved companies that get the share prices gets beyond where it should be, I think, which is what WOSG were, and then it gets hammered, and then all of a sudden the whole sentiment changes on it, and the share price just goes lower and lower and lower and lower. until they come out with some news which shocks the market and people go, oh, I wish I bought it at whatever price. So yeah, sometimes have a look at the reasons why the share price has fallen, and if it doesn't materially impinge on the company long term, then find the time to actually do the research and find the time to then think, actually, the catalyst or a new catalyst has started, to maybe consider that share. Over to you, mate. What have you got?
Well, I've got a US stock for lovers of international equities. This is a global leader in the design, manufacture, and distribution of agricultural machinery, such as tractors, combine harvesters, haymakers, spreaders, seeders, etc. It's a company called AGCO, AGCO, and helpfully, that is also the ticker, AGCO. The company's got a fantastic agricultural heritage. It's nearly 200 years old. It does business around the world through a network of 3,000 dealers in 150 countries on six continents. So, if you're looking for some diversification, you're not going to get much more diversified than that geographically.
Brilliant.
Now, the reason I like the company, our population globally is exploding, and weather patterns are getting more extreme. Here in the UK, we've just had storm, what was it? Storm
Aisha. Aisha.
Juliet and Aisha, that's it,
Yep.
which have flattened parts of the country. We've had flooding, we've had snow, we've had all sorts of disasters. This is being repeated around the world. Last year, Spain had horrendous wildfires in the middle of harvest season, decimated the crops. Africa is getting hotter and drier, and the population's also exploding at the same time. We are going to need more food for the growing population, and it's getting harder to produce it. And so companies like AGCO, I think, are perfectly placed to help meet that growing demand for food by maximizing the capability of farmers to produce food and produce it more efficiently. Now, the company is fairly cheap. It's on a PE of 9x. It's got a 29% return on capital employed. And revenues are absolutely exploding. The company did about $8 billion in revenue in 2017. And this year is on course for $14.5 billion in revenue. So there
Wowza.
is strong demand for this company's products. It's got a little bit of debt. You're going to gasp now. $1.3 billion in debt. Sounds like a lot in the context of this company. It's not too bad, really. But this is a business that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. When you talk about the US agricultural sector, you usually hear people talking about John Deere, which I
Here,
think the
yep.
ticker is D. DWER, DWE.
Yep.
Now, this is one you don't hear a lot of people talking about, and it's cheaper. So, could be worth a look, could be one for people that are interested in playing out on that growing demand for food. I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts on it. Peter?
Yeah, it's an interesting. I mean, Deere, ticker symbol DE, is the behemoth in that category, isn't it? And you could say also, in a semi sort of way, Caterpillar in that space as well, machinery, all the rest of it, but they're more in the mining side and other bits and pieces. But Caterpillar is definitely in that space. That PE just feels too low for me, for a company generating. If it's going, you said 8 billion of revenue going to 14.
14 and a
Why
half.
is the PE, only on 7 then? If it's generating that increase in revenue. Seems like a bit of an
Because
anomaly or a, something that's not quite right there. Is it being held back because of the debt, Henry?
well, my take on this is slightly different. I think the US is becoming more and more concentrated into mega cap names. So people are
Ah.
going for John Deere and they're going for Caterpillar, and John, not John, Jim Cramer is talking about John Deere and how it's the best thing since sliced bread. And you've got funds buying John Deere as the future of agriculture and ignoring
Yeah.
firms like AGCO. And I think
Wowza.
this is one of these bizarre market irrationalities where the market is becoming obsessed with one firm, say Nvidia, at the expense of alternatives like Computer Center.
I do like that. I'm just trying to pull up here what the PE ratio is of Deere. That's not in fairness, that's on 11 from what I've got here, which is not that much higher.
There is also the cyclical element to it. So in a year where you do have a lot of natural disasters and the harvests are bad, farmers don't make money, and then they can't invest in the machinery. So demand can be impacted by things totally out of the company's control. So it's never going to be on a super high PE, in my opinion, because of that. You're always going to be slightly held back by this fear, well, very rational fear by investors, that some catastrophe could happen that cripples global agricultural demand for the year and impacts it. And there's nothing that AGCO can do about that.
Right. Okie dokie, mate. I quite like that. And it looks too cheap for the movement that we're going to be seeing potentially on those revenues over the next 6 to 12 months. So yeah, that's going straight onto my watch list, Henry, if you don't mind.
Excellent. Top man.
I'll be keeping an eye on that. Just one thing. Did you mention any dividend in there at all? Anything?
Ooh,
even a little
a
bit?
Good question.
I need a little bit of juice there, mate. Just give me 1%, 1.5 even.
I think it does.
Just to keep me happy.
It does, ladies and gentlemen. It pays a 0.8% dividend, which is 14 and a half times covered. That's got
cover
plenty
me,
of room for growth, though.
That'll just cover my currency costs, mate. My FX.
Exactly.
No, I do like that one. And it's small enough for Caterpillar or Deere to maybe think, oh, get them out of the way. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Wallop. We'll have them. Yeah. Nice one, mate. Nice one. Okie dokie. I quite like that, Henry.
Excellent.
Like that.
Top man. Well, whilst you're pondering AGCO, I've got one final one to throw in the mix.
Okay. I was going to go to mine, but go on. Carry on.
I'm going to carry on. Just very quickly, I spotted today the pawnbrokers H&T. The ticker symbol is HAT, which has absolutely fallen off a cliff. It's on a PE of 5.7. But it's a great company. I mean, it's been growing its dividend at 7.3% a year since 2017. It's grown its book value at 7% a year. Since 2017. Now, interestingly, in their latest update, they warned that pre-tax profits for the year are due to be 10% below market forecasts. Oh dear, catastrophe. The markets have literally thrown this company off a cliff. The share price has plummeted. But performance for the year is expected to be robust, with a 40% increase in revenue year on year. Now, they've had a challenging Christmas trading period. Is it any surprise, ladies and gentlemen? But the reason I wanted to flag this share up, the shares were £4.90 in November, and today they're just £3.63, which is a 25% decline. Now, I think this is a perfect example of the markets reacting to short-term information, short-term traders swinging the shares around left, right and centre. As an investor, the question we ought to be asking ourselves is this a company that I want to hold for 5, 6, 7, 8 years? How's it going to perform over the long term? Not over the next quarter. Fine, they had a bad Christmas. What's next Christmas going to be like? The Christmas after that? What about the summer? What about the spring? Ask yourselves, what's the management doing with the company? What are the revenues doing? What are the compounding qualities? What's the balance sheet look like? Is it prudently wrong? These are the
Spot
questions
on,
that investors ought to be asking themselves, not, oh, we've had a 10% drop in forecast earnings, I'd better throw it out the window. So I think
Absolutely.
That's one that investors might want to go and do a bit of research on. It's not one I hold, but it did catch my eye this week.
Brilliant. No, good shout, mate. And it goes back to the conversation we were having last podcast, about Nvidia when it had that dip and everyone just went, "Phew, I'm out of here," you know. And then the share price has just gone on and on and on and on and on ever since. And you know, the year before last, nobody wanted Marks and Spencers, did they? Couldn't give it
No,
away at
no
a
one wanted
pound.
it.
And now it's like everybody wants to buy it at nearly £3 or whatever price it is now. It's like, really? You know, £2.50, £2. Oh, I'm buying some Marks and Spencers for the first time. I'm going, all right, okay. You think it's safer now because it's going up? You don't want to buy it at £1 or £1.50. Hey ho. Right. I'm going to go the opposite way, mate. But going back to what you said there about H&T, it seems like the situation with some retail and again, a jeweler and people, you know, being on harder times weren't actually buying stuff. So what tends to happen around Christmas time is people are buying more jewellery, and those that are needing to get access to cash will either put that up for some cash or sell it, pawn broke their jewellery and other things. And that didn't seem to happen as much as it normally would do. But given the recessionary sort of environment we're in and the risk that things stay stickier for longer, inflation and interest rates, I can see them coming back. I think they could be quite cheap. So yeah, good call, good call. I don't see watches of Switzerland buying them, but I think they'll
Very
be
different
okay on their
target
own.
markets.
Different target market, exactly. Right, I'm going to briefly talk about this one because it absolutely smashed it out of the park today, and the ticker is SYS1, and the company is called Systems. Systems One Group PLC, 27% up today, Henry. Right, trading update just surprised everybody, I think, and basically, market was surprised. They came out and basically said they're trading ahead of numbers and increased their full year guidance and basically smashed every metric across the board. Platform revenues year up, year to date, or year on year, sorry, 46%. Total revenues up 29% on the quarter, year on year, up 46%, I've just said, and just absolutely mullered it. So I'm looking at that and thinking, total group revenues grew by 1.9 million to 8 million, up 29%, with strong growth in the US, Europe, and the UK. So across your main three markets, it's growing. So I'm looking at that and thinking, I've completely missed this company here. Yeah. Got
Good spot.
160 new clients in Q3. And now has over 200 new clients. And these include new clients, including Pfizer, M&S, Tesco's, EasyJet, Toyota, Müller, as in people, Müller rice people, okay? B&Q, Just Eat. And it's even got partnerships secured with TV companies such as Roku TV, Aardman Animation, and more. I'm thinking, why have I never looked at this company before? And it's now rocking up, sitting there with the share price just flying higher and higher and higher. Another 20%, 27%. So I'm going to mention that briefly. Do I own it? Look at my face, people on YouTube. Go on YouTube. No, I don't. Yeah, 27% up and flying. So have a little think about that one. Very interesting company. I think it'll do very, very well going forward. If it's growing at this sort of pace now, and it's surprising people. I suspect it could carry on surprising people. We're sitting here now. Where is it? Where is it closed today? Let's have a look here. £3.62 went up 77 pence today. Yeah.
Very well done to hold
Oh,
us
yeah.
there. Very well done.
Well, if you held it before today, very well done. The low was in June of 2023 of £1.45. You've already doubled your money. Yeah,
Beautiful.
already doubled your money. Today was the high, a new high for the past 12 months, and that's going to go higher. That's all I've got.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, just
All I've
before
got.
we round up for the evening, or for the day or for the morning, wherever you are in the world.
Or the night.
For the night. Quick update on the Twin Peaks Investing Challenge. Twin Peaks Investing Challenge.
Go for it. Go for it. For 2024.
For 2024. After a lot of back and forth and umming and ahhing and scribing away through the night.
Both of us have been slamming this down, mate. It's been so much work, people. It's been ridiculous.
Oh, phenomenal. Right? Phenomenal. We've almost had entrance via carrier pigeon, I swear. we've had over 140 entrants this year, ladies and gentlemen. 140. So thank you to everybody that's entered. Yeah. We are pulling the figures together, pulling the data together with SharePad. Looking forward to announcing the first results next month for January. So best of luck to everybody. You know, keep an eye on your portfolios. If you see something interesting happen with your portfolios, send us a tweet. Tag me and Peter, send us a tweet. Let us know what's going on. Let us know how you're doing. We love to hear from you. You know, you've got these portfolios. So tell us how you're getting on. And best of luck to everybody that's entered.
Very well said, mate. So grab us on YouTube and tell us what's going on, or just go to one of Henry's tweets or my tweets regarding the podcast and say, I own this stock in the Twin Peaks Challenge and it's gone up 5, 20, 30, 40% today. And if it's had a shocker, tell us it's had a shocker as well. And we'll just have a conversations about it, and we'll talk about some of the stocks and some of the portfolios as we go on through the course of the year. But please, please, please keep in touch with us. And if one of your stocks get taken over, please tell us about it. And when the takeover is completed, we'll give you the opportunity to choose another stock. But thank you all for entering thus far. And we'll, as Henry say, tell you about the first winner, the January winner so far. We'll just say next month. We'll get all the numbers to you next month and tell you all. All the prizes for those winners of 2023 should be coming to you. If not, you should have had them all already. All I'm asking you to do is just take some pickies of the books and so on and so forth when you've got them, and just tag me and Henry in so that our sponsor, Harriman House, can see that they've gone to the right people. And that's it, guys, ladies and gents. Thank you ever so much for being us again. Podcast 119 is done. Let us know what your thoughts are about it. Please reshare it, tell people about it, and comment about it. When you hear this, I'm done. I'm spent. I'm tired. And it's only Wednesday. Henry, mate, thank you ever so much again for being on this podcast.
My pleasure.
And for those of you asking, where's Alex? Is he still skiing? Alex is back. We're going to have conversations about the podcast, getting himself together. Whether he continues with the podcast, I do not know. But we'll give you a heads up in the next show. Okay, ladies and gents, take care. God bless you all. Henry, thanks again, mate.
My pleasure, Peter. Thanks for tuning in.
As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details, and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.